Welcome to this short service on your telephone. We're continuing in our series Reset, reflecting on the changes we might want to make as a result of this crisis. Today, Ian is talking to us about finishing well. Here is Caroline Ashcroft with our reading for today.
The reading is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage, with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept my faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Father, help us all to run well, to draw upon your resources of grace and strength, and that we may finish well. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Whenever we get together, the clergy team, to discuss subject matter for sermon series, we'll discuss which subject seems to be appropriate for which member of the team. When it came to this subject of finishing well, there was no doubt about who this subject was for. Both Namdi and Christoph looked at me and said, well, this is your subject because you are so much nearer to the finish line than we are. They didn't actually say that. They just thought it because it's very obvious, isn't it? So much nearer to the finish line, coming towards the end of the race. And last year, 2019, at St. Mary's Festival, we had a wonderful weekend of celebration. It was a great weekend. And for me, it was a special weekend because it marked the 50th anniversary of my ministry, 50 years in the ministry. And Christoph interviewed me, so I got a chance to talk about my journey of 50 years. And I got a presentation too. I got this wonderful mug, which says on it, run the race with perseverance, quotation from Hebrews chapter 12. And there's a picture of a pair of very flashy looking, impressive trainers. And it says on the bottom, Reverend Ian Jennings, 50 years in the ministry, 2019. So this is my very favorite mug. Tea tastes great out of this mug. And every time I use it, there is a reminder to me to keep on persevering, to run the race with perseverance. You need perseverance every stage of the race, not only when you start, but also when you come to the middle phase, when you're feeling fatigued and the going gets tough. You need perseverance during that stage in the middle of the race. And you certainly need perseverance at the end when you can feel overwhelmed with weariness. You need to be able to draw upon God's resources of grace and strength and power that you may be re-envisioned, re-establish your priorities and keep on going, persevering. So this coronavirus has given us a lot to think about. And maybe one of the things, as we refocus on what really matters in life, is that we focus upon the finish line so that we finish well, so that we finish well. And we won't finish well unless we run well. It's so obvious, isn't it? So important. When I was 14, I was never much of a runner. In fact, I was short, had short legs, a bit podgy, and I hated the weekly cross-country run. I was never an athlete anyway. I longed to be good at sport, but I never was. And I hated I loathed it, the cross-country run, because I was always in danger of being the last man. However, there were four of us in a similar situation, all slightly overweight, ponderous, slow, not very good runners, and we had an unwritten agreement to walk across the line together. So no one experienced the humiliation of being last man. We shared that humiliation. We shared that sense of the fellowship of failure. It was really, but by no stroke of the imagination could it be described as finishing well. When I was 65, I ran my first half marathon, which was an extraordinary thing for me. I had become involved in raising money for the Children's Hospital charity, and there was a group of us who decided to run a half marathon. And I've been running ever since. In fact, 2 years ago, I entered a trail run with some friends in northeast Lincolnshire. And a week after the event, I got a letter through the post congratulating me for being first in my age category and enclosing a modest cheque as my prize money. I couldn't believe it. And now I would never have predicted that as a 14-year-old boy. Never in a million years. So we need to keep on going well in order to finish well. We need to keep on running well in order to finish well. So Paul talks about the fact that his eyes are upon the prize. He has in mind this goal, one man, one goal, always goal orientated. He's pressing towards the prize, the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, he says in his letter to the Philippians. And you get that sense of a man with a blazing purity of purpose, always with his vision clear, pressing towards the goal until the day he breasts the tape and comes right through to eternal joy through his ministry and his faithfulness right through to conclusion. And he writes to Timothy and says, I've fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the race. Fought a good fight, kept the faith, finished the race. We need to make those our priorities, to fight the good fight of faith, to finish the race, and always to have that in view, that we are keeping the faith and that we will finish the race and finish well. How do we do that? Well, let me just say quickly three things that I think are important. Stay at the center. Don't drift. Stay at the center. Don't drift. Our lives are centered in Christ. St. Paul, writing to the Colossians, says this. He says, your life is hid with Christ in God, so that when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall also appear with him in glory. Your life is hid with Christ in God. What a beautiful picture that is. And I like the Phillips translation, Christ, the secret center of our life, when he shall appear. Christ, who is the secret center of our life, and he shall appear, we shall also appear with him in glory. We have discovered the secret of the indwelling Christ. We need to live in that reality. Live at the center. Don't drift. That's the first thing. The second thing is, love people for themselves. Don't just do good. Sometimes we do good out of a sense of duty rather than motivated by love. We need the love of God to be poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit so that we love people for themselves. And we're not like the Pharisees who wanted their good deeds to be noticed. And their good was negated by their motives. Their motives are wrong. So whatever good they did was corrupted. We must love people for themselves as Jesus did and not simply be motivated by being do-gooders, as the disparaging term is often used. But you know what it means, that sense of self-righteousness. Love people for themselves. Don't just do good. And then the third thing is this. Remember that character still counts. Character still counts. And if we are going to finish well, we must be people of integrity, people of character. When I was ordained in Sheffield Cathedral, the old Bishop David had the Ordinands on retreat, and he spoke on the wickedness of the clergy. We thought he was going to speak on something encouraging about our ministry, about our ordained life, development of our ministry, the wickedness of the clergy. And he spoke out of a brokenness of heart. It came over with such power and authenticity because of what he had observed of the failure of integrity in the clergy, those who had failed morally and failed in terms of fulfillment of their ministry. Character still counts. It counts. It really counts. And if we are going to finish well, we need to be a people of character so that the character of God is seen in us by the power of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, so that we reject the easy options of sin and temptation and we choose the paths of righteousness. Be a people of integrity. So, we look forward to a day when he will say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. But he's not going to say it to us unless it's true. He won't say, well done, good and faithful servant, unless we have been good and faithful servants. God help us. Help us to maintain that sense of perseverance, to have our vision upon the finish line, to keep pressing on and to finish well, so that we don't just kind of share a kind of a moment of humiliation with others who have failed, but we move through to the glories of eternity with a real sense of God's holy presence and power at work in us, lifting our vision and lifting our purpose to the glory of the living God. So help us, we pray, Lord. Help us to keep our vision clear, to see the finish line, to move towards it, to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, enter in to the joy of your Lord. Amen.